Thank you very much, Pastor Nathan. Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a pleasure and a privilege for me to be here. I want to thank Pastor Nathan for his invitation. And some of you may be wondering, what is this Jamaican guy doing here? Well, my connection with your church is through your pastor's wife, Bonnie. We shared in a program this past summer, a CPE program at Robert Wood Johnson, and we had a ball. We learned a lot, and I was so grateful to have met a wonderful friend in Bonnie, and by extension, her husband, Nathan. It's also been a privilege to meet Jonathan, who picked me up this morning, and all the guys from the Sunday school. That was one of the greatest Sunday school lessons I've ever been a part of. It was excellent. I want to thank Vincent for being himself. That was wonderful. It was great. Okay, some of you saw the title of my message this morning and you're wondering to yourself, who in the world is Koheleth? I don't know that name at all in my Bible. And that's good because it is not generally seen in the English Bible. Koheleth is actually the Hebrew word for preacher. And preacher is translated in the Greek as Ecclesiastes. So follow me. In Hebrew, Koheleth and the word Ecclesiastes mean the very same thing. It means preacher. And so I only put Koheleth on the meaning of life so that you would wonder and give me a little bit of a listening ear. Okay? Good. Ecclesiastes is probably my favorite book of the Bible. And it's my favorite book of the Bible because it is, to me, the most real book of the Bible. It addresses things that I myself have been through, and I think things that people struggle with on a day-to-day basis. The writer of Ecclesiastes, his whole premise is this: I've tried everything in this life to find meaning, and what I've found is that at the end of everything I've tried, there is only meaninglessness. There is vanity, vexation of spirit. I've tried the partying. I've tried money. I've tried relationships. I've tried everything I could to find true happiness, lasting joy. But in the end, it resulted only in emptiness. And I have no doubt that there may be some of you under the sound of my voice today who have had similar experiences. Maybe you have tried to find meaning in this life in pursuing pleasure. And as it usually goes, pleasure only lasts for as long as it lasts. And then you move on to the next thing because it is fleeting. Pleasure has a way of giving temporary satisfaction, but it just doesn't last. Maybe it is money, and you may say to yourself, oh yes, if I get enough money, I will be satisfied. But then you get the money, and you're like, okay, what's next? For some people, they think, oh, if I can only marry someone, if I can get a husband, or if I can have a wife, then I will be truly happy in this life. And then they get the husband and the wife, and it doesn't always turn out that enjoyable. Right? I mean, for some people who have the perfect marriage, that's how it works sometimes. But for most, there are ups and downs. There is not a single place of pure satisfaction that lasts. And so he brings us to a place of frustration. What is the purpose of life? Why am I here if everything I pursue is going to amount to a big zero in the end? And today, what I would like to present to you is Koheleth, the preacher's reasonable conclusion for the purpose of life. And before I give you the conclusion, I want to use Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as the basis for which we come to this conclusion. Now, if you read the entire book of Ecclesiastes, he builds a bigger argument. But right here in chapter 12, I think he is summarizing his argument. And what is happening is he's giving us some clear guidelines as to why his conclusion is correct. And I think if we analyze these guidelines, we will find them to be true for us as well. And so we're going to use Ecclesiastes 12 as a launching pad to talk about the purpose of life, the meaning of life. What is life all about? I believe it is found right here. But before we look at the text, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to impart your word to your people. Father, please forgive me of my sins. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, take all my shortcomings, cover them under your blood, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak and make clear your truth to our hearts. If there is anyone here today who is struggling with their purpose in life, would you encourage them through your word? Would you lift their spirits? Would you give them hope today? Thank you for hearing our prayers, dear God. We leave these things in your hand now. Be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The preacher is preaching. And he's been preaching for 11 previous chapters. And now he's here at chapter 12. He's giving us his conclusion. And he's putting it in terms that we can probably all identify with. Before his conclusion, the first thing he points out to us, and the first very important thing for us to understand, if we are to come to a proper meaning and purpose in life, it is this. If you're going to come to a proper purpose and meaning for your life, it has to begin with God. There is a creator. Look at verse 1. He says there, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. What's he saying here? He's saying, listen, if you are going to understand your purpose in life, it must begin with a proper understanding that you, your life, everything about you is purposeful. There is a God who made you. There is a God who created you, and because of that, your life has meaning. Right now, I'm sure I see a lot of young people here, and I'm sure when you go to school, what is being pushed at you every day is that you evolved, that you came about because of natural processes that take place in the environment, and, you know, CO2 and O2 and H2O and all these things combined, and somehow, some way, poof, here you are. No, of course, you know, I would not downplay the benefit of science to things, but science cannot teach you your purpose. Science can only explain the things that can be observed. But to know your purpose, you have to go deeper. And to go deeper, you have to go into the spiritual realm where God resides. You see, before this entire world was, God existed. And God, in eternity past, thought not just about creating this world, but he thought specifically about you. And he made a decision in eternity past to create you, to give you life, to give you purpose, to give you destiny. Oh, my friend, if there is anything that can change your perspective about life, it is the fact that there is a God who knows your name and who made you. I remember growing up, I was very much into church. My father's a pastor. I used to go to church every Sunday. And so you kind of grow up knowing, yes, that God exists. But then when I began to learn certain things, like the population of the earth, the billions of people that live on this earth, and the billions of people that live before me, and probably if I die, the billions of people that will live after me, and just to consider that no person has ever existed that is exactly like me. Among the billions and trillions and quadrillions of people that have ever lived, no one has ever been exactly like me. What a thought. You see, that thought should lead us to understand that God is not just interested in mass production. God is interested in intricate formation. And you, my friend, of the trillions of people that have ever lived, are special. Because God made you unique. There is no one else like you. And the preacher is saying, remember your Creator. It's good to remember Him when you're young in the days of your youth, before the evil days come. What are the evil days? When we get older? Well, I guess so, in a sense. When you get older, You pass a place of being able to analyze and to enjoy life in the way you really should. We had a little discussion about that this morning, didn't we, Vincent? Very interesting. But it is an encouragement more so to think about your purpose through the eyes of a God who loves you and who took the time to form you. Maybe there are some people who struggle with issues of low self-esteem. Maybe you think to yourself, boy, I'm kind of ugly. You know, boy, if my forehead wasn't so big, or if I had hair, or if my nose wasn't so big, you know, I would be perfect. But oh, my friend, don't let the world tell you what is beautiful. You see, the reason why God made you the way you are is because He considers you beautiful. And if there's not one other person in this world who considers your beauty, I can tell you this, God does. God does. You are made exactly the way He wanted you to be. Why? Because to Him, you are perfect. You're perfect. There's a big push nowadays for people to change their looks, you know, plastic surgery, and to put whatever injections that are going to make you look attractive, maybe to the same sex or to the opposite sex. It doesn't matter. If you know that God has purposed you to look the way you look, you won't have to change a thing. Because you know that every time He looks at you, He smiles. What He made is good and remains good. He is a good God. There's a Creator. The Bible says in Psalm 139, which by the way is my favorite Psalm. Psalm 139 verses 13 to 16. It says, "For you, God, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them." He's talking about that formation of the fetus in the womb of the woman. He's talking about the fact that even in your mother's womb, He was making you. He was making you exactly the way you should be. Oh, my friend, you are precious to God. It goes on further in Psalm 139 to say, "How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God." When God thinks of you, He's not depressed. When God thinks of you, He smiles because His thoughts of you are great and full of passion. Oh, my friend, God loves you. And I know we tend to say that in a general sense in church, but oh my friend, in reality, because God created you, God has a special interest in your life. He loves you. And if you're going to find purpose in life, it has to begin with God. Don't let anyone tell you that you can find your purpose in this life apart from God. You cannot. Because your purpose is directly connected to Him creating you, to Him giving you meaning and purpose. So it starts there. There is a Creator. And if He made you, He has a plan for you. God doesn't make things just because of their aesthetic effect, just for beauty's sake. No, He makes things for purposes. And if God made you, that means that your life has a purpose. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know," and this is God speaking, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, for your prosperity, and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future." He wants to give you a hope and a future, meaning He wants your life to be worth something to you. He has a purpose for it, and He wants you to know it. And that is why He's saying these things. Remember your Creator. It begins with God. It begins with God. If you in your heart have forgotten God, as you have been seeking to find purpose in this life, I guarantee that you're confused right now. I can tell you this because I tried that. When I was much younger and going to high school, when I was learning some things about, you know, particularly concerning science, I began to think to myself, well, what if there is no God? What if really and truly the evolutionists are correct and I'm just evolved? I'm a result of chance, 1 million billionth chance that took place in this universe has created me. I can tell you, when I began to think that way, it left me with a deep sense of hopelessness. Because if my life is random, then what's the point? What's the point? Why wake up in the morning? Why even go to school? Why have relationships with others? Because in the end, we're just going to go back to the dirt. That's all that matters. But because there's a Creator, I have purpose. I have hope. I don't have to stay in that place of stagnant frustration and emptiness. I can move forward to a purpose for my life. And so the preacher, before coming to his conclusion at the end of chapter 12, he starts off by telling us the first thing we must do. Remember your Creator. Whether you are young or whether you're older, remember that there is a God who made you. That's number one. Number two is found further down in verse 6 of chapter 12. I'll read it for you. It says, "Remember Him." He's continuing the same thought from verse 1. Remember your Creator. He says in verse 6, "Remember Him, your Creator, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." And all God's people are thoroughly confused by that. I'm sure you're reading it and you're saying, what in the world is the preacher saying here about the silver cord being snapped, the golden bowl being broken? What is he talking about? Well, I think we get a little hint of what he's talking about in verse 7, where he says, "And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." What does that sound like to you? kind of sounds like ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? Kind of sounds like death. And this, my friend, I believe, is a second and very important thing to analyze if you are to understand your purpose in life. If you are to understand your purpose in life, you have to understand this. You are working with limited time. Yes, God created you. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. But in this life, in this physical realm, you are working with limited time. Life doesn't last forever. You might say, well, Pastor Andrew, how morbid can you be? Well, it might sound a little morbid, but it is realistic. If you're going to understand your purpose in life, you have to face some realities. I don't remember the verse offhand, but there's a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, which says, it is better to go into the house of mourning than to go into the house of joy and mirth, because you get to consider life in the house of mourning. Sometimes the only time we consider that we won't live forever is when we go to a funeral. Isn't that true? When you go to a funeral, maybe it was a funeral of a loved one, a family member, a friend. Sometimes that's the only time you think to yourself, oh, wow, I'm really not going to live forever. But other than that, we live our lives carefree. We think to ourselves, oh, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to do this next month. I'm going to do this next year. Not knowing that next year, next month, next week, tomorrow is not guaranteed. We are working with limited time. And it is important to consider that when understanding the meaning of life. That means I don't walk through life flippantly just doing whatever it is I feel like doing. No, I have to make sure I know my purpose in this life so that every day I live, I am fulfilling my purpose. If I don't know my purpose and I'm living flippantly, I can come to the end of my life and not realize my purpose. It is amazing how many people live and die and live and die and never understand why they're here. Some people, even some of the most successful people, people who people look up to. Sometimes when you read their memoirs, they will say things like, I did all of this stuff, but to me, it just still seems empty. It just seems like a waste. You see, they may have accomplished a lot of things, but they still did not understand their purpose. And they came to their end of the end of their lives, unfortunately, missing out on what it was all about. Oh, my friend, I want to be morbid on purpose this morning. If you're going to understand why you're here, you have to realize that every day, every minute, every moment that you live is a gift given to you from God, and that at any moment it can be taken from you. I don't want to produce sadness in you. I want it to produce awareness in you. Am I living my moments in purpose, or am I living my moments without purpose? Bonnie can identify with this. Working as a chaplain in the hospital, we came across a lot of death. You know, people who we would go to visit and encourage and say, you know, how are you doing? Hope you're doing fine. And then come back the next day and hear that those very same people were gone. And I don't mean left the hospital, I mean died. People would die. To think, I was just with that person. I was just spending time with that person, and now they're gone in an instant. And then the reality strikes. I wonder if that person understood their purpose before it was too late. I wonder if that person understood and enjoyed life in the way that God wanted them to before it was too late. Well, you see, I can't answer for that person. The only person I can answer for is myself, right? True? That means I need to know. I need to ask those questions to myself. Am I living in the purpose that God created me for today? Or am I not? And if I'm not, I need to do something about it. Earlier in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up. Death is inevitable. Just live long enough and you will see. All of us have an appointment with death. But for the one who understands their purpose, death is not something to be feared. Death is a door through which you can walk confidently if you've lived your purpose. If you haven't lived your purpose, death will make you afraid. It will make you fearful. So what's the first thing? Remember your Creator. There's a God who made you. That's number one. Number two, if you're going to understand your purpose in life, not only is there a Creator, but the life that you've received is temporary. You will not live forever. You are working with limited time. And the third thing, and the final thing I will share, and to me, this is the most pivotal thing that will help you to come to the right conclusion about your purpose. It's found in verse 14 of chapter 12. It says in verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. I want to repeat that verse. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. You might say, well, Pastor Andrew, how does this apply to the meaning of life? It has everything to do with the meaning of life. The Bible is saying here, everything I do, everything that I say, everything that I think, whether people have seen it or haven't seen it, it will be brought to account before whom? Before God. God will judge everything. In other words, the life that I'm given by God, God is going to hold me accountable for it. This is a clincher for me. Because if the life I'm given, I'm going to have to give an account for it, then I need to know. I don't need to know tomorrow. I need to know right now. What does God want me to do? What is His purpose for my life right now? Because if I don't know that purpose, I'm going to stand before God and not be able to give a good account. In other words, I will not be able to stand and to stand with confidence at the judgment. Oh, young people, older people alike. The judgment of God, the accountability of God is the clincher. That's what changes everything. The accountability to God teaches us the need to know God's mind, to know God's heart, to know what God wants for me. What does He want for me? Does He just want me to go to school and to be successful? Does He want me to have good relationships? Of course He does. But what is the main thing He wants? The main thing He wants for me is for my life to give Him glory. Is for the things that I do to please Him. Is for whatever it is that I pursue to be something that He wants me to pursue. It's all about knowing the heart of God. so that I can give a good account of my life to God. The judgment is a fearful thing. And a lot of us don't like to think about the judgment, because we'd like to think that when we're all alone, the only person that sees and knows what we're doing is us, right? But guess what? Guess who sees and knows? God sees. God knows. He is everywhere present. And even if it doesn't come out of your mouth, guess what? He can see what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's going on. And guess what? He's gonna let you stand before him and say, Andrew, hey, you remember when you went to visit your friends at the Evangel Church? Do you remember what you were thinking when you were sitting in the office there? Do you remember what you were thinking even as you were sharing my word with them? Were you honoring me? Or were you not honoring me? And at that point, I would have to give an honest account. And I'm hoping that I would be able to give a good account. But you see, the only way we can give a good account is if we not only know God's goodwill for our life, but that we actually practice it, that we actually do what He wants us to do. There is a Creator. You are working with limited time. And there is a judgment or a time of accountability for your life. It is with these three things in mind that the preacher made the conclusion that he did in verse 13 of chapter 12, where he says, this is the end of the whole matter. This is what life is all about. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty? You mean that's what life is all about? Yes. Because if you take into consideration those three important things, you will come to the right conclusion about the purpose of life. Well, let's dig a little deeper. What does it mean to fear God and to keep His commandments? That word fear comes from an old Hebrew word, a root word, yare. That word yare means to give to someone that which belongs to them by right. I'll repeat. It means to give to someone that which belongs to them by right. Now, I wish I had a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old in here. I would ask them this question. If God made you, who do you belong to by right? Anybody? If God made you, who do you belong to by right? You belong to God, right? Yes. He is the Creator. He's the Maker. And we owe Him our lives. So to fear God, to truly honor God, to truly reverence God, it doesn't just mean going to church and being a good person. It doesn't just mean praying every day. It doesn't just mean being religious. No, it means something a little bit more. It means to take your life and to hand your life back over to God in faith. That is what salvation is all about. That is what being born again is all about. That is what being a child of God is all about. It is taking your life and saying, Lord, you made me. You know your purposes for my life. I give you my life. I turn my life back over to you, God. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to guide me. I want you to be the one who teaches me what life is all about. So it's not just about being good. At least it doesn't just start with being good. It starts with being repentant, with surrendering your life to God. There's a big difference between being religious and being truly a child of God. Our sins have separated us from God. And the only way to overcome this barrier between us and God is to say, Lord, I accept the gift of your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. and I turn my life back over to you by accepting that sacrifice. You see, the preacher here is foreshadowing something that we all must do. Fear God. Reverence Him by submitting your life to Him, giving Him your life, letting Him be the Lord, letting Him be the master of your life. Fear God and keep His commandments. Because I can tell you this, once you've submitted your heart and life to God, once you have given Him the right to rule your life, doing what He wants you to do will not be a chore. It will be a joy. I remember growing up and going to church, and I'm like, oh, do I have to go to church again? Again? Seriously? And I used to have this really down pat. As soon as the pastor started to preach, I'd fall asleep. And as soon as he'd say the final amen, I would wake up. I'd be like, wide awake. You know, I had it down pat. But I tell you this, when I really surrendered my life to God, nobody had to force me to want to be in the house of God. It wasn't a chore anymore. It became a joy. Why? Because I now wanted what my Father wanted for me. I now wanted to please Him. I now wanted for Him to be happy with me. And that just changed my whole perspective. If you are having a hard time with the commands of God, I want to encourage you to fear Him. I want to encourage you just to submit your heart and life in fullness to Him. And then you will find a different perspective on His commands. There will become a joy to you. It will be something that you will enjoy, not something that you will tolerate. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It is the meaning of life. And I trust each and every one of you have come to know this meaning in your life personally. If you have not, God is challenging you in a very specific way today. Let go of the things that you have been using to try to find satisfaction. Give Him a chance in your life. Surrender your heart and life to Him and watch Him flood your life with meaning and purpose. You will never live to regret it. Let's bow our heads and hearts as we close. Thank you, dear God, again for your word. We love you. Let it sink into our hearts. Let us meditate on it. And Lord, if there is anyone here today that is yet to submit their hearts and lives to you, give them the grace and the courage to do so today. We are working with limited time. Today is a day of salvation. Thank you again, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We love you. And we pray and ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Pastor.